Our scripture lesson this morning is from Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through the first part of verse 6. I'll give you a little prelude on what Paul is getting at here. He spent the opening part of Romans up to this point emphasizing that by God's grace we have salvation through our faith in Jesus Christ. This is a common foundation for any person who puts their faith in Christ. It doesn't matter their race, their gender, their culture. That is what we share in common with all believers. Paul wants to make sure we have this common foundation. And then he starts off chapter 12 talking about, since we've received this mercy from God, our new life in Christ, that we are to give ourselves fully to Him. Once he's established that, he now moves into, in our section, that even though we have this common foundation, we are distinct from one another. We are different. And he especially emphasizes, as we've been seeing, the different motivational gifts in the body of Christ that are expressed in Romans 12, 6 through 8. And we're going to be unpacking the meaning of those gifts since we've been taking these inventories. That's what we'll be unpacking this morning. But before we do that, we want to see some very important guidelines that Paul gives in these verses that we'll be looking at in our text. So let's hear God's word, and I'll read Romans 12, verses 3 through the first part of verse 6. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. May God give us yet more understanding of this reality. Speaking of differences, I want to read this. It's called Retired Husband that I came across in Mikey's Funnies. Guy writes this: after I retired, my wife insisted that I accompany her on her trips to Target. Unfortunately, like most men, I found shopping boring and preferred to get in and get out. Equally unfortunate, my wife is like most women. She loves to browse. Yesterday, my dear wife received the following letter from the local Target store management. Dear Mrs. Harris, over the past 6 months, your husband has caused quite a commotion in our store. We cannot tolerate this behavior and have been forced to ban both of you from the store. Our complaints against your husband, Mr. Harris, are listed below and are documented by our video surveillance cameras. February 2. Set all the alarm clocks in housewares to go off at 5-minute intervals. February 19th, walked up to an employee and told her in an official voice, code 3 in housewares, get on it right away. This caused the employee to leave her assigned station and receive a reprimand from her supervisor that in turn resulted with a union grievance, causing management to lose time and costing the company money. March 4th. Went to the service desk and tried to put a bag of M&Ms on layaway. By the way, please get no ideas from this, okay? Yeah. Especially you seniors, okay? You're not hearing this. April 14, moved a caution wet floor sign to a carpeted area. I mean, if you're bored, what are you going to do? So April 15th, set up a tent in the camping department and told the children shoppers he'd let them get in if they would bring pillows and blankets from the bedding department, to which 20 children obliged. May 23, when a clerk asked if they could help him, he began crying and screamed, why can't you people just leave me alone? Paramedics were called. June 4th, looked right into the security camera and used it as a mirror while he shaved. July 3, darted around the store suspiciously while loudly humming the Mission Impossible theme. July 18, hid in the clothing rack, and when people browsed through, yelled, pick me, pick me. And last but not least, please, you don't hear this. Went into a fitting room, shut the door, waited a while, and then yelled very loudly, hey, there's no toilet paper in here. One of our clerks passed out. The danger of boredom. Well, and by the way, that's not autobiographical. I'm not retired. But it does give me ideas. Well, of course, that's all based on stereotypes. There are some men that probably enjoy shopping. Haven't met them, but anyway, they probably are. And some women who probably prefer not to browse. But the fact is, God has created us differently. It's not just men and women. Our different personalities, we can go on and on. The various ways that we are created by God differently. I want to use the term gift mix. I've already done that quite a bit. It's not just referring to our particular motivational gifts. But beyond that is other types of gifts and just our personality, the different things that make us who we are. We call it a gift mix. And each of us is unique in that way. We're also limited. The Bible says of Jesus Christ, John 1:14, He came full of grace and truth. It says in Colossians 2, verse 3, that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He doesn't need any more embellishment. But we are not complete in ourselves. And so Paul, in this passage we're looking at here, is providing a kind of a warning, a caution about how we understand our gifting. And in the first place, there are kind of two opposite dangers. The first danger is pride. He says, don't think of yourselves more highly than you ought. In other words, don't kind of puff yourself up because of what you're able to do. For in the first place, this is an insult to God. All glory is to go to God. We boast in God because anything that we are able to do, any skills, talents, gifts, all it's by God's grace. We didn't earn it. We weren't choosing how we were born and wired. It's all by the grace of God. Furthermore, there's a danger in pride because pride tends to lead a person to think, I don't really need other people. You know, I'm self-sufficient. And Paul is saying, that's not what, you know, how God has made us. We are a part of Christ's body. We belong to one another. We need one another. Which leads to the second danger, the opposite side, and that's what I would call false humility. False humility. He alludes to this when Paul says that we are to think with sober judgment according to the measure of faith the Lord has given us. Sober judgment. Paul has just said in the verse right before that we're to be renewed in our mind in Christ Jesus. This is how we think with sober judgment. Not how we think of ourselves, but how God thinks of us. And as a result, we avoid a false humility. And what I mean by that is the opposite of the pride. It's kind of this, well, I'm not really gifted. I can't do like so-and-so or so-and-so. And so I don't really have a very important place in the body of Christ. Wrong, says Paul. The body's made up of many, many different parts. Every part has its function by God's design. And so we need each other. We need to all be aware of how the Holy Spirit might choose to use us in any given situation with our particular gift mix. And so as we've been going through these inventories of these seven different motivational gifts, it is really for the purpose of, with sound judgment, understanding how God has wired us so that we don't excuse ourselves and say, well, I don't really have a place in the body. Or we don't get puffed up and think, well, boy, I'm indispensable. We need one another in the body of Christ. And so I'm going to ask Barb and her helpers now to hand out a sheet. It's going to be a summary sheet, kind of helping put this all together and interpret what we've done. Now, as they do that, I want to make a couple of comments. First of all, there are some of you here that have been here for all seven inventories. You've kept your folder, you've been going through them, and that's great. And others of you, you've been here for some but not all. And so you are missing some of the inventory. So what I would suggest is we've made extra copies. There's seven of them. And if you missed any, grab an extra copy and you can fill it out on your own. You know the rules now, that there is no right or wrong. It's not a test. It's an inventory. And you just fill these out and then you total the score. Now, the other thing I want to remind us of is that regardless of our particular gift mix, there is still, getting back to our common foundation, love the Lord your God completely and love your neighbor as yourself. We are all to be loving one another. and loving even the strangers God puts in our sphere of influence. But here's the thing. How we choose to love, how we will be geared to love those people is going to vary from person to person because of our different gifting. So there's many ways to express love, and we will be showing it in different ways according to our gift mix. Now, when you get this sheet, you'll notice on one side there is a grid. Now, for those of you who never liked math and don't like to see another grid, well, too bad. This is very simple, and it should be easy for you to work out. On one side is a total score, and when you've finished each of the seven inventories, you'll get a total score. Now, I don't think anyone's going to have zero or 100, because that would mean all zeros are all fives. But in the process, you're going to have a score, and you can just make a little check on or an X for each of the seven, and then just kind of draw a line. And what's going to happen in most cases is you will find that you're going to have one or maybe two kind of little mountain peaks, or at least two areas or one that kind of stands above the others. That's a motivational gift strength. Okay? Now, you don't have to do this right now. This is going to be your sheet to take. And those of you who have green folders, you can just stick it in your folder and you can work that later. Okay, now, on the other side, up at the top, you may recognize the motivational gifts as part of the body. These are the sermon titles of the last 7 weeks, because each of these seven motivational gifts have a particular part of the body they correspond with. Now, the second segment there is how they meet the basic needs of people. So the perceiver meets spiritual needs, the server meets practical needs, the teacher meets mental needs, the exhorter meets psychological needs, the giver meets material support needs, the administrator meets functional organizational needs, and of course the compassion person meets the emotional needs. All of these are ways of expressing love to other people. Now, what it gets interesting is when we get to the third section. Factors affecting how we perceive and use our motivational gift. This helps us understand why people with the same spiritual motivational gift may still operate quite differently from one another. We won't go through all of them, but just look at all the different factors that influence who we are, a part of our gift mix. And that's part of why we are each unique, because these factors don't all line up for everyone. So, for example, let's take three people that all are, their highest motivational gift is server. And yet we find that they are quite different in how they function. Well, maybe person A is very high. It's almost like a Mount Everest. You know, they're very server-oriented. Whereas person B, their top one is server, but they're also quite high in exhorter. And person C, their top one is server, but they're also quite high in compassion. So each of them will have kind of a different way their motivational gift is expressed. Now, suppose you finish all seven of your inventories, as some of you have and some of you will, and you chart it on the back and you flatline. And you think, uh-oh, my heart stopped beating? No, that is not what that means. There are some possible reasons why some people, and I've seen this in every group, there's usually a few that don't have a peak or two. It's just kind of Eastern Washington. Well, that's maybe not the... It's just kind of, you know, flat. Okay, here are some of the reasons why. A person may never have become a Christian. Now, I mentioned at the start that motivational gifts are spiritual DNA. Even people that aren't Christians have motivational gifting. They're just not aware that it's from God. And so as a result, they don't understand the dynamic of spiritual gifting. Or number two, maybe they've become a Christian but have never been taught about spiritual gifts, and so it makes it difficult for them to kind of do an inventory. Or number three, as a relatively new Christian, is uncertain how to respond to some of the statements. You remember, as you've gone through the inventory, some of the statements have to do with assuming that you have been a Christian for a while. A new Christian may not know how to respond to some of those, and so it's going to skew their inventory results. Or on the other hand, number four, someone has been a follower of Christ for many, many years. They've grown very deep in their faith. And even though they have a motivational gifting, they've also learned the importance of the others and they've really grown in them. And so it affects how they address their inventory. Now, it may not be that way, but I'll take myself as an example. Of the seven inventory scores, my lowest score was in server. And yet I have learned through the years the enjoyment of serving and the importance of serving, because we are called to serve one another, but it's not a default thing. In a given situation where maybe there's a need for someone to use a server gift, I may be clueless to that, and they don't even see it, whereas people wired a server say, oh, we need to do this. This is a practical way. I know Jeanette is high-end server, and we're often in a situation where she will see a practical need for something. Oh, yeah, you're right. I didn't even see it until she pointed it out. But when I do see things or someone points it out, I don't mind serving. So number five. Some type of bondage or fear may inhibit the use of their gift mix. We all need healing from different wounds that we have. And sometimes if there's not been a healing for that and there's bondage, it can affect our growth in Christ and therefore our understanding of where we're gifted. Or maybe we have fears that need to be delivered from. And until there's that deliverance, we're hesitant to step out and we don't see where God is gifted and can use us. Number six is related to that. A poor self-image inhibits development of the gift. And again, that goes back to that false humility. Someone may be gifted in a particular way, but they're, well, I'm not gifted like so-and-so, so I guess I can't be used. And they fail to see what Paul is emphasizing here. We are all part of the body of Christ, and we all are members one of another. We all have functions. Number seven. The danger of trying to imitate someone else with a different gift and thereby neglecting one's own gift mix. You may really admire someone who is gifted differently than you and you think, I want to be like that. Well, we can be inspired by them, but if that leading to try to be like that, it may cause us to not develop in our own motivational gifting. Number eight, there's deliberate sin in a person's life that keeps the Holy Spirit from nurturing their gift mix. Sometimes people, even as Christians, might be rebelling against God and they're holding on to something where the Spirit is wanting to lead them away, but we can, like it says in Ephesians 4, grieve the Spirit of God. And that inhibits the development of where we are gifted and strong. And then nine is similar, as a Christian who is not really focused on living for the Lord, wanting to serve the Lord. And without that focus, again, it inhibits the Holy Spirit developing us. So those are some of the reasons, if you flatline, you might just pray about why that might be. Now, a couple other things before we come to the communion table about motivational gifts. It is very important that we not only know where we are strong, but also appreciate the other types of motivational gifts, even if we're not strong in them. And a reason why is it helps cut down on misunderstandings and conflict in the body of Christ. Some conflict, some misunderstanding comes simply because we don't appreciate the different giftings. Let me give a couple examples. If you have a person who's very strong as perceiver and another person very strong as a compassion person, they often will conflict. And here's why. A perceiver often is very prone to say things very black and white and very strongly. This is something all Christians ought to be doing. This is right and that is wrong. Now, a compassion person in following the scriptures may agree, but compassion people are very careful in their tone and their words because they don't want to use their words as a sword. So they're always careful how it's coming across. So they may clash with a perceiver thinking, you know, you're being too harsh in what you're saying. And whereas that perceiver may think, well, you compassion person, you're too wishy-washy and wimpy. This is what the Word of God says. So you need to appreciate the different giftings and learn from one another. Another example, and I mentioned this a few weeks ago, is between the use of Scripture between a teacher and an exhorter. An exhorter is quick to speak and bring encouragement to someone else, and often will pull a phrase of Scripture to encourage someone. And, you know, they may be very biblical, this exhorter, but they may pull a phrase of Scripture out of context because it fits what they want to say. And a teacher's going, oh, you know, you're pulling that out of context. That's not what that Scripture's supposed to be. So again, they need to appreciate one another. Secondly, let's remember this about motivational gifts. They're not distributed in equal proportion. I've seen this again and again. That in a, let's say you have 70 Christians, you're probably not going to have 10 with a spike in each of those motivational gifts. Think of our body. We have 10 fingers, 10 toes, 2 eyes, 2 ears, 1 nose. Different quantity, but all with a very important function. And this is just a general observation, but I think among the 7 motivational gifts, there tends to be usually a higher percentage of server types and compassion types than some of the others. Third point is we need to distinguish between God's call and God's gifting. And let me use myself as an example. God clearly placed a call on me to be a shepherd, to be a pastor. And yet God has, I know other pastors that have had a clear call from God, but they are differently gifted than I am. A call is different. God may call someone from any of the motivational gifts to be a pastor. The same thing with elders. A number of you here are elders, but you don't all have the same gift mix. So there's a difference between calling and gift mix. And then lastly, again, to emphasize, every one of us is a very valuable tool in the hands of God, whatever our gift mix. That's why we need to appreciate one another and be ready to be used of the Lord. I had an illustration of that this week, and that is with a pitchfork. Don't worry, it's not a weapon here, but it's a tool. A few weeks ago, before the Friday yard waste pickup that's every other week, I noticed that our yard waste can was about half full, and we have extra grass that has been piled up against our wall here in the church before we had the yard waste resume. So I wanted to fill out the rest of the garbage can with some of the grass. Well, the only tool I could find here in the church was a shovel. And I tell you, a shovel is not very effective in piling grass into a yard waste thing. So I thought, well, next time I'm going to bring our pitchfork. So this past Thursday, I brought my pitchfork up, and sure enough, it was a lot easier to fill out our yard waste can with a pitchfork. Why? Because it's a tool that's geared for that, but the shovel is a very good tool for digging and turning over soil. Every one of us is a unique tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit to be used by Him. In the coming months, we're going to be hearing some different opportunities how we might serve the Lord in and through FTPC. Some new stuff that's coming. It's really kind of exciting. And I think the timing is good after we've gone through this gift mix, because I believe everyone will find a place where they can plug in and say, you know, here's where I could serve the Lord. It's no time for pride, no time for false humility. It's just a time to say, Lord, here I am. How may you use me to build up your kingdom? So we'll look forward to that. And as we come to the communion table, I'm reminded that Jesus Christ, when he had his 3 years on earth working with his followers then, is doing the very same thing today with his followers around the world. Think of what he did. On that night before he was betrayed and before he was crucified, he gathered his disciples together, and we know the story well, that he washed their feet. And he said, I've done this because I love you. And I want you to love one another. And that's going to be a witness to the world of my love. Now, it doesn't mean we have to wash our feet, but it does mean we're called to love one another. And think of the group that he was working with. A ragtag bunch of disciples who were not all wired alike. They were quite different from one another. They would argue with each other who's going to be greatest. Jesus had to set them straight on that one a couple times. You think, yeah. So therefore, don't be surprised when he has to remind us as well about some things. But he took that group, and when the Holy Spirit came upon them at Pentecost, that group, in fact, there was 120 of them, all these different gifting people, they were the ones God used to start the church. He's doing the same thing today. He's taking a group like us. For all of our insecurities and weaknesses, he has gifted us. And he says, I'm going to use you to build my church, to expand my kingdom. That's what we remember. Here at the communion table, we are reminded by the Lord what holds us in common. His body and his blood. For Jesus not only washed the disciples' feet that night, he also took the bread and he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He took the cup. He said, this is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Wow. What Jesus was saying is that I am giving up my body. This is the bread. It's my body. I'm giving it up for you. And my blood's going to be shed as the means by which your sins are forgiven and you are brought together as brothers and sisters in Christ. The communion table here at FTPC is open to all who put their faith in Christ. You don't have to be a member of our church or denomination. If you are putting your faith in Jesus Christ, we are brothers and sisters in Him. Let's take a moment in just quiet prayer now. If we need to confess any pride about our gift mix, let's just lay that before the Lord and say, my boast is in you alone. Or if we've been guilty of false humility, thinking, well, the Lord can't really use me, let's lay that at the cross. And again, say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Let's come before the Lord and prepare our hearts in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, what a delight it is to come to the table of your Son. And yet at the same time, it's humbling. Like we sang earlier, that we are amazed that our King would die for us. But we are grateful that you've done that so that we have been brought into the family of God. And as you've uniquely gifted each one of us, we humbly bow before you and say, our boast is in you alone, O Lord. Crucified, risen, Lord of all. And we also just die to this false humility of disqualifying ourselves. We ask, Holy Spirit, you would guide and direct each of us to be of service in the kingdom of God. Not only in our ministry here in the church, where we are to love one another as a witness, but the ministry you give us in our community, with our schoolmates and co-workers and our neighbors, where we bear witness to the life of Jesus Christ in our words and deeds. Thank you for your call. And Lord, thank you for your giving your life and shedding your blood so that we might live. You're humbled, you're honored. We thank you for your love and we love you in return. We pray this all in the mighty name of Jesus and all God's people said, Amen. As you receive the bread, we're going to ask that you go ahead and partake of the bread as you receive it. It's a reminder, each of us is unique in the eyes of God in how He has crafted us. The cup represents the blood of our Lord Jesus shed for the forgiveness of sins. As you receive it, let's remember Romans 12, verses 4 and 5, that we are all members one of another. So we will partake of the cup together, expressing the unity that we have in Jesus Christ. Before we conclude with our final song, we have actually one more type of graduation that we want to recognize this morning, and that's with Bob Wanicki. And Bob, would you please stand for a moment? Sorry to put you on the spot, but this happens to be Bob's last Sunday with us before he returns to Kenya. He has been faithfully worshiping with us for... When did you first get here? Was it last summer? Yeah, that's what I thought. He's been staying with the McCoys, And he's just been such a blessing. He's a brother in Christ. And I think, boy, this just illustrates the unity of the body of Christ. As he's been here worshiping with us, we want to send him off with a blessing. So we do have a reception afterwards. There's some cake and some goodies, and we're invited to share in. But I also want to pray a blessing over him. So could some of you just gather around there and put your hands on Bob, and we just want to commit him to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for Bob. We have been blessed to have him worship with us. We've been enriched. And we send him now in the power of the Holy Spirit to return to Kenya and to be a blessing for you there with his unique gifting, how you have crafted Bob. We pray that you would go before him, prepare the way. May there be divine encounters. May you direct him in his ministry. And Lord, should by your grace you bring him back at this place at some time, we thank you for that. But we thank you that he has been a reminder to us of your reach around the globe and of what you are doing to expand your church, and that we really are all part of one another. So we pray your blessing over Bob, body, soul, and spirit, that he would continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you, Bob. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.